Abnormal Show Live is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the herb.
Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
All right, good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Tuesday, April 24th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I've touched down back to home base just for this one day, just for this Tuesday. Just got back from Denver. I'm on my way to Tucson tomorrow morning, so thought we'd stop in and share some of the fun we've had out on the road. We've got some video. We've got some exclusive music to the show. We have got some pictures to go over and all sorts of stories to tell. But before we get to that, let's introduce our guests in the studio. Of course, we've got Wiz Calico hanging out here. How you doing?
Aloha, doing quite well. Glad to be here. Glad to see you.
I'd give you some applause, but somehow my programming...
It's quite all right. No applause necessary. I create my own applause in my own head.
Got to get some effects fixed there. Also, we've got Cannabis Carrie, our senior news editor, calling in from Grastoria. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Russ. How about you?
Oh, well, you know, I missed you guys being out there. Could have used a lot more help, but...
I bet.
We'll get you to the next one. It was a lot of fun, and we'll tell you all about it on today's show. But while I was gone, we had the 420 holiday, of course. Big news on 420 all of the time. So, Carrie, what do we have in the headlines today?
Well, we are going to start off with a 420 story of sorts. I was telling you about the University of Colorado at Boulder's attempt to squash that protest. I'm going to tell you how that went. But we've also got a lot of news about initiatives. I'm going to tell you some news about initiatives coming out of California and one from right here in Oregon. And then I also have a story, a very interesting story, about how the Chesapeake Police Department in Virginia save money on drug dogs. That all coming up in the hemp headlines.
All right, we'll take a look at that. Also on today's show, when we get to our Daily Toker Tune today. Now, normally, Daily Toker Tune would be Electric Tuesday today. We'd do some sort of electronic song. But I'm going to bring you our exclusive acoustic version. I swear to God, got to stay in room number 420 at the Marriott on 420. Chief Greenbud was across the hall from me in room 421. So we brought him over to do his song, It's 420 Somewhere, on 420, at 420, in room 420. So we got that video for you at 420 today. So how perfect is that? Also coming up on the show, I'm going to bring you my speech from 420. I was in San Antonio at the Freedom Fest. It's always so hard to say. Yeah, you'll be able to check out that speech that was recorded in the Revolution Room, the basement bar there in San Antonio. And then at the end of the show, I'll give you my reflections on the 420 holiday, do a little show and tell with some pictures, some video, and some merchandise I picked up. In hour two, Toker Talk Radio, I'm going to play the entire To Dab or Not To Dab panel. It was amazing. Tons of great information you need to know. All that and more coming up after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. My job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. WeedMaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. WeedMaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit WeedMaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply all
the sacred smoke. Yo, what's up? This is Miles from Slightly Stupid. You're listening to Normal Show Live.
Hi, I'm Radical Russ. One of the best things about marijuana is the wonderful aroma. But when you travel a lot like I do, that aroma becomes a suspicious smell. That's why I endorse stealth-products.com, the leaders in smell-proof containers. From smell-proof vacuum bags to smell-proof backpacks and duffel bags, all the way to smell-proof digital safes, stealth-products.com has you covered. Stealth-products.com brings you safe, secure, odorless layers of protection with activated carbon fiber. Backpacks and duffel bags are simple black so as not to attract attention with a logo or a flashy design. Now, nothing is perfectly odor-controlled from the detection of drug dogs, but with proper vigilance, containers from stealth-products.com will help you avoid nosy humans.
You're now listening to Elliot Beats.
Stealth-products.com. Stealth-products.com.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
In the 420 follow-up, we told you of the aggressive steps taken by the University of Colorado at Boulder to end their annual 420 rally on campus that has been going on for over a decade and routinely attracts crowds in the tens of thousands. Marijuana tokers annually waited until 4:20 p.m. on April 20th to light up in a public protest against cannabis prohibition. But this year, it seems that the university has won. They closed the campus to visitors, they spread a very unpleasant-smelling fish-based fertilizer on the quad, and they enclosed the quad in yellow police tape. And just for good measure, they also stationed police officers around the perimeter of the quad for the entire afternoon. Three brave students crossed the police lines only to be led away in plastic handcuffs and presumably will face administrative sanctions if the university threats were real. Several hundred students gathered around the quad as 420 approached, and a de facto leader got them to chant yes in his response to a 420 who's with me call. But then as he dashed under the tape, he was promptly chased by police, wrestled to the ground, and covered with fish fertilizer, was also led away in handcuffs. With him gone, the crowd broke up around 4:30 p.m. with no one witnessing any other public marijuana smoking. Occupy Boulder did hold a smaller protest outside of campus. There were no arrests reported there.
You know, it just goes to show you that if you really want to stop college kids from gathering together on 420 to smoke pot on their college campus quad, you can do so if you stake it out with yellow tape and you spread smelly fish fertilizer all over the place and you hire some cops to stand around to make sure that they tackle them, bust them, harass them, cuff them, stuff them, whatever it might be. Looks like you can restrict someone's First Amendment right to assembly, right to protest. It looks like a college, a institution of higher learning dedicated to the fostering of the exchange of ideas and the exploration of ideologies. It looks like you can squelch that if you treat your students as if they're insurgents, if you want to get them all, get their the place that they learn stinking like a fish factory. It does look as if that was successful. But successful in what way, CU Boulder? Do you think that the marijuana legalization movement's going away? Do you think anybody's going to stop protesting this? All you've done now is you set up your students to have a belligerent attitude toward their administration, to believe that their voices can be squelched if they have something unpopular to say. And I don't think that's something that any news any organization would want to tolerate. Whoosh.
An Oregon state initiative to legalize marijuana has come under fire for the way they pay their signature gatherers. Robert Wolf is the chief petitioner for Initiative 24, a measure that, if passed by Oregon voters, would amend the state constitution to allow adults in the state to use possess and produce cannabis as long as it doesn't endanger public safety or children. Initiative 24 has been gaining the support of many activists in the state and looks hopeful to make it onto the ballot in November. They have crossed many of the first phase hurdles of getting an initiative on the ballot and are now in the final stages of trying to collect 116,000 valid signatures by 5 p.m. on July 6th to actually make it onto the ballot. Bob Wolf says his group, Citizens for Sensible Law Enforcement, have a goal of collecting 185,000 signatures to ensure the validity requirement. But yesterday, the state issued a $65,000 fine to Wolf for allegedly paying employees per signature gathered rather than by the hour. Now, this is against the rules. He was fined $2,500 per sheet for violating Oregon law, the highest penalty ever issued in the state of Oregon for violating a paid per signature ban. Secretary of State Kate Brown said that she has a renewed focus on cracking down on fraud and abuse in the initiative process, saying that her effort is so that, quote, Oregonians can have greater comfort when initiatives get on the ballot measure that they have gone through legal and legitimate means. The law that Wolf was in violation of is Measure 26 that was passed in 2002. That prohibits chief petitioners of initiative campaigns from paying circulators based on the number of signatures gathered. The director of the Oregon Election Division, Steve Trout, says that staff members who were reviewing the accounting data for Initiative 24 saw some red flags that indicated they may be paying some gatherers per signature, such as a consistent pattern of the numbers they were reporting, indicating they were more likely getting paid by the signature. After being contacted by the Secretary of State office, two of the gatherers came forward and agreed to sign statements that they were unlawfully paid by the signature. They have been referred to the Bureau of Labor and Industries to file wage complaints against Wolf. Trout says the investigation is ongoing and more fines may be possible. Now, there is some good news in this. The signatures, as long as they are valid, will still be counted towards the total, and Robert Wolf's campaign has 20 days to pay the penalty or request a hearing before an administrative judge to deny the accusations, a move that they will most likely request. So we'll keep you letting you know anything that develops in this story.
Yeah, this is just election year politics going on here from the Secretary of State's office, who's already kind of got a shadow over her for the way she's rescheduled some of the primaries. Kalika, what's the deal on that? Do you remember that story with the primary scheduling that she moved up so that it could help Brad Avakian or something like that?
I don't remember that. I remember there was a big hassle about her having to reprint ballots that had gone out with the wrong things on them. So.
Yeah, and it's no surprise we see that the largest fine here, or the largest fine ever in this situation, is being given to now professional marijuana signature gathering, and you know, somebody that actually has a shot at getting this thing on the ballot. We're up to what, 100,000 signatures now?
100,000 signatures officially.
You know, and also, you also have to understand that the people involved with the I-24 campaign have some involvement with this new PAC, the Not Dwight PAC. Is
right,
that right?
And, well, they're actually a part of the Citizens for Sensible Law Enforcement, which have put out this Not Dwight Holton website, the notdwightholton.com website, mm-hmm. Which is Dwight Holton's a guy running for attorney general race here in Oregon against Ellen Rosenblum. So yeah, and this story has hit everywhere, all here in the local news stations. They've been covering about this attorney general race and how Dwight Holton's been kind of shooting himself in the foot with his positions on medical marijuana.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see, because Holton is one of these guys being pedigreed for, you know, higher office. This is just a stepping stone. His attachment to Oregon is ephemeral at best.
He's been here 8 years.
Yeah, he's a Virginia guy. He's, you know, he's got all these ties to the Democratic political machinery. Now, in news that goes along with that story, you know, tying the ends together, like I was saying, the I-24 proponents are also people that are involved in this Not Dwight PAC, Political Action Committee, because now we've got the Citizens United decision that says, you know, we can spend money, you know, much money as you want, raising in PACs to go against candidates, for candidates, whatever. And it is kind of ironic, if you ask me, that we have a Citizens United that says a corporation can spend unlimited money trying to buy an election, yet when citizens want to try to pay per signature, and I'm not alluding or alleging that anyone did at this point, but if they did, if that's a problem, right? Because the per signature ban, the whole reason it was brought about is we wanted to stop rich people. Particularly, we have one particular ballot funder. Who's that guy?
Bill Sizemore.
You know, who would have out-of-state rich interests that would, you know, spend money per signature to try to pass their conservative agendas in Oregon. And so, you know, they revolted against that and said, no, we can't have, we can't pay per signature, which is stupid when you really think about it, because then it gets you a situation where you have no way as a signature petition gatherer of policing the people who are gathering signatures. You don't know if you're getting some loaf off who's just going to go there and just stand around for 15 minutes, get three signatures, and then claim he wants to get paid for 3 hours or some crap. So anyway, but before we go too much farther down that road, I did want to play this advertisement that had come out, because this is making news here in Oregon, where we have actual political action committee money being spent. And this is being heard on our local progressive talk radio station.
It's several different stations, but I did hear it on the progressive station.
Okay, so it's on KPOJ and other stations. This is the new ad out about the Oregon Attorney General's race and produced by the Not Dwight PAC.
Hey, honey, who's your choice for attorney general?
I don't care.
Judge Rosenblum from Oregon or the guy from Virginia?
Virginia? What does Virginia have to do with our attorney general's race?
Dwight Holton is from Virginia, and that's where he just held a big fundraiser. Nearly 70% of his campaign money is from out of state. And he's never even tried a case in Oregon state courts.
Never? Who's that judge again?
That's Ellen Rosenblum. She's been a prosecutor and judge here in Oregon for 36 years.
So Judge Rosenblum knows Oregon and Holton doesn't.
He doesn't, but he wants to gut the medical marijuana law we passed 14 years ago. He calls it a train wreck. But Judge Rosenblum says marijuana should be a low priority for law enforcement. She supports our state laws.
Okay, now I care. No way on Holton. It's Judge Rosenblum for Attorney General.
Judge Rosenblum, good choice, honey.
Paid for by Citizens for Sensible Law Enforcement.
All right, there you go. The new advertisement for Citizens for Sensible Law Enforcement. And Carrie, let's go on to the next story.
You bet. California marijuana activists have been reeling following an unprecedented attack on their state's medical marijuana laws in recent months. Only weeks ago, the raid on Oaksterdam University and the harassment of founder and political leader Richard Lee was the pinnacle of federal waste of targeting medical marijuana businesses following state law. California has always been a pioneer in cannabis law reform, but the state will have to sit out in 2012 when it comes to pushing for full legalization for all adults. Friday was the deadline for committees trying to get initiatives on the November ballots to qualify. They needed to collect and turn in over 500,000 signatures submitted to the Secretary of State. Not one of the legalization measures in California did so, meaning that 2014 will be the next chance Californians have to try to get cannabis legalized. Following the loss of Prop 19, which would have legalized cannabis in 2010, Richard Lee stood in front of supporters and our cameras here on Normal Show Live and declared that legalization was inevitable and that a legalization effort would return stronger in 2012 with the new ballot measure, whether it was from him or someone else. Now, his campaign did win an historic 4.6 million votes for legalization in 2010. That was 46.2% of those cast. So the momentum did feel like it was there. But there was a momentum of another kind that was stirred up by Prop 19, a division of activists unable to come together after the loss. There were four competing initiatives this time around, and none of them could find the political or financial backing they needed to come out a front runner. The one that came closest was similarly worded to the one that will be on the Colorado ballot, a regulate marijuana like wine. They were only able to get just over 200,000 signatures, less than half of what they needed, and even less than that if you consider validity. They were the last legalization effort to bow out, something that they did last week. So no legalization to vote for this year in California, so there will be no arguing over to vote yes or no, like it during the Proposition 19 campaign. What do you think, Russ?
Well, I would just like to quote the words of Dragonfly De La Luz, who wrote on the day after Prop 19 had failed, quote, "Thank you to all who saw Prop 19 for what it was and stood up against it. I look forward to working with all cannabis activists and enthusiasts to bring true legalization in 2012, end quote. Well, apparently Dragonfly and others, you don't get to get any vote on legalization in 2012. And for those of you who get a chance to vote on legalization in 2012, I want you to take that to heart. I know a lot of you have some serious qualms with some of the measures out there, but understand your chances are very little that you ever get to vote on legalization. These two bills, the one in Washington, or initiatives, the one in Washington and Colorado, are chances number 9 and number 10 in 40 years of drug war in 50 states. Chances number 9 and 10 in 40 years. These chances don't come around. And when they fail, they just provide evidence to the backers who might want to get involved that, oh, wait a minute, this can't win. The people behind it are divided. They don't even know what they want. Why should I risk my millions of dollars and my reputation on backing something when even they can't get behind it? All of this internecine fighting and squabbling in between activists who want to treat it like tomatoes or want it all uses medical, it's all great philosophical and rhetorical fun, but the case is, what can we get on the ballot and what can we get people who don't know a damn thing about marijuana to vote for? And if it makes the ballot, my God, you've got to vote for it.
Yeah, and so we can smoke like we're about to do right now, only freely without having to look over our shoulders.
What are we talking on today?
We got some raspberry kush, which is very nice. Very nice.
Back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man, a reefer man? Have you ever met that funny reefer man, a reefer man? If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Science is like a blabbermouth who ruins a movie by telling you how it ends. Well, I say there are some things we don't want to know. Important things.
Yes, brother.
Count your computer.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you Tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electric music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and experimental. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
All right, folks. Like I said, just got back from San Antonio on 420 on Friday, and then Saturday, Sunday, and Monday I was in Denver for the Medical Cannabis Cup. But on that Friday, while I was there in San Antonio, it was such a fun time. I was there. Chief Greenbud was there to perform. You can see him in the picture there on the webcam, along with myself, and we are there at the Smart Car. That is the San Antonio Normal 420 Smart Car. It's sponsored by their local attorney, who's now their executive director. I apologize that I forget his name off the top of my head. But as you can see, festooned completely with green and pot leaves and statistics about marijuana and the San Antonio Normal logo and website and where to contact. These kind of cars, these vehicles, are a great way of generating attention. They generate all sorts of advertising that people aren't necessarily going to see. If you place up a billboard in one place, they may not drive by that, or they see it every day and they start to ignore it. But seeing a smart car like that, that's going to draw some eyeballs. Anyway, Chief Greenbud joined me in my room, which was room 420 on 420 at 420 for this next song. So enjoy. All right, folks, welcome to our coverage here of 420.
What's that?
The 420 holiday. This is our 420 celebration sticks.
Oh, Celebration Day.
Yes, we're here with Chief Greenbud from chiefgreenbud.com, of course, and everybody's CD decks. And everybody that is in the chat room got your songs. So they're
really
very excited about the third album.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, Libra was out there, Libra Lounge, Stereotype, Dolphin S, all out there hanging out, having a good time here on 420. So the new album's ready. We're just trying to get a cover.
Yeah, pretty much.
So it's ready to go.
Well, look who you're dealing with. I mean, you know, it's been ready for about a year. It's just been it's been a long road coming.
It's been a long year. Now, you were telling me you're doing a lot of gigs in Humboldt now lately.
Yes, I'm actually playing out there at the Riverwood Inn on June 7th. And then there's the Redway Run, which is this big 5,000-7,000 biker run.
Yeah.
That's the 7th, the 8th, 9th, and 10th.
Wow.
I'll be playing there. And then I'm going back out in November for the Mateel Community Center's Hemp Fest.
Yeah, so all you folks out in the West Coast like me that, you know, you want to see Chief Greenbud, but you're out in Nashville.
I'm in Nashville.
He's going to be out in California.
California,
it's the place you ought to be.
What was that?
I don't know. I thought I heard something, but maybe I did not.
It's the Pope.
It's the man. All right, so we're approaching 4:20 here. It's 4:19 in the Central Time Zone. We hope everyone is having themselves a good 4:20. We're going to start having our 4:20 here.
Can't wait.
See, I can do it there,
sure. I can't wait.
4:20. Happy 4:20, everybody.
So Chief is going to take it away with some tunage for us for 4:20.
Well, I ain't got to hit nothing yet.
We are in room 4:20 at the Marriott on 4:20 at 4:20 with Chief Greenbud and his hit, It's 4:20 Somewhere.
It is. If you watch the clock to smoke your pot, you should know you're not alone. And if your grass is like molasses hydrogrown, that gets you stoned. If you're counting the hours and watching the minutes, that special time when everyone hits it, take it from me, you're really not that far away. I said to roll me something fat and long, or pass me a bowl, or fill me a bong. It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. Well, it's 4:20 somewhere. Smelling like 4:20 right now. This smoke break is gonna make my afternoon when I get high. And even if it's my last bud, I'll smoke it up, it'll be alright. I've been sitting here waiting for what seems like a year. My San Antonio connection said he'd meet me here. If the phone's for me, tell him he better be on his way. And he can roll me something fat and long, or pass me a bowl, fill me a bomb. It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. Well, it's 4:20 somewhere. Well, I spent all my cash, replenished my stash, but it's only a quarter or two. At a moment like this, I can't help but wonder, I wonder what Russ Belleville would do.
Well, I think the first thing that I would do is I would pass that joint over there to Chief Greenbud, and I'd say, fire that fat boy up!
Ahem. Roll me something fat and long. Pass me a bowl or fill me a bong. It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. Fat and long, or pass me a bowl, fill me a bong. It only comes twice a day, but I don't care.
One more time.
I said to roll me something fat and long, or pass me a bowl, or fill me a bong. It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. us don't care.
Shit, I don't care.
Well, it's 420 somewhere.
Chief Green Bud.
It's 420 somewhere.
It's the hit that makes you cough.
That gets you off. It's 420 somewhere. Thanks for joining us here. We got to pack up the gear and get ready. We got to take off by 5 here to the San Antonio gig that we're doing. Check out sanormal.org for the information. We'll bring the stream back up just as soon as we can there. In the meantime, you'll probably get to see this replaying on our channel. So
over and over and over again.
So thanks so much. And check out chiefgreenbud.com for details on the third album coming out soon. And we'll see you later. Bye-bye, everybody.
We are each of us a multitude.
Wow, I'm suddenly feeling wisely fungible.
There isn't the sharp line dividing humans.
Or maybe fungibly wuzzy.
It's a very wuzzy line. It's a very wuzzy line. It's getting wuzzier all the time.
Sometimes it's hard to tell.
We find animals doing things that we, in our arrogance, used to.
This is Normal Show Live.
As regards to legalization, it's not in the president's vocabulary and it's not in mine.
Providing dictionaries to drug czars since 2009.
I don't care what you say. That ain't right. I said, that ain't right. That ain't right. I don't care what you say.
Catch Normal News with Cannabis Carry every weekday on Normal Show Live at 7 p.m. Eastern here on the Normal Network. Normal, unlike any other marijuana or drug reform organization, is built from the ground up by grassroots activists. We are the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, and we aren't just anti-prohibition, we're pro-marijuana. Every week, we take some time to talk to the citizens of local Normal chapters across the country and around the world, as well as others who are working to make a difference in the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition. In this segment, we call Grassroots Activism.
Yeah, Grassroots Activism today we're going to dedicate to our Texas chapters, most specifically San Antonio Normal. You know, I'm so proud of these activists in Texas that are working in one of the toughest places to be a marijuana activist. I got to tell you, being in San Antonio for 420 was a little difficult for a guy who's used to being in the Pacific Northwest and all the freedom that we have up here. I mean, we had the cops outside watching the building, making sure no one was slipping out to the dark parking lot. We did manage to get ourselves a toke or two out on a patio before the management came out and gave us our one warning before they said they would close the whole thing down, kick us all out, and have the cops lead us out in cuffs. So the irony, of course, with this was all happening at a place called The Revolution Room, that it was festooned with pictures of Winston Churchill and Che Guevara and, you know, other revolutionaries and so forth. So, irony alert. Anyway, this is my speech for 420, where I was unfortunately introduced as Rick Russ, but, you know, we roll with the punches as they come. This is a 420 Freedom Fest from the Revolution Room in San Antonio, Texas, and I apologize for the quality of the video and the sound. It's the best I could get.
Truth.
needs to happen. One of the things that I like to tell people when I go out around these things is how great it is, because I kind of believe that when you're fighting for legalization, it can be tough to do because we haven't ever really seen it in our lifetimes. Marijuana was made federally illegal in 1937, so there's very few people alive today that can remember when it was legal. So I would like to come back from the West Coast and tell people about the land of medical marijuana. My wife's a patient, I'm a caregiver. I have a little card in my wallet. I've been able to have this card now for about the past 4 years. It's my medical marijuana caregiver card in the state of Oregon. And because I have this card, I'm legally allowed to possess a pound and a half of marijuana.
That's right.
24 ounces of marijuana and 24 plants. 6 mature plants, 18 seedlings. But a funny thing happened the other day. This card expired on Thursday. So on Thursday, I have a house full of weed, and I have a house full of pipes and bombs and vaporizers and various stuff. I got a couple of great grow tents where I've got a few plants growing. On Thursday, I was a legal caregiver in the state of Oregon. On Friday, I was a felon. On Thursday, I was perfectly legal to have a pound and a half of weed and 24 plants. On Friday, that would give me 20 years in prison and hundreds of thousands of dollars in fines. Just because a card expired. And I bring that up because, you know, I imagine you're out here in Texas and you hear the stories from California and from Oregon and you see the medical marijuana and all the festivals and the smokeouts and all that. Oh my God, it's the promised land. And it is. It's pretty cool. But it's a long way from where we need to go. We need freedom for all of us from California to the East Coast, from the Canadian border to the Mexican border, and especially being here in Texas. And I want to emphasize the freedom part because when we're doing this, you know, a lot of people think, oh yeah, bunch of stoners wanting to get high. Well, yeah. But now we're here, and you're here, because we want to do something about our freedom. Has very little to do with marijuana. Has very little to do with what we're smoking. It has to do with whether or not our government has the duty and the right to tell us what we can do with ourselves and to ourselves in the privacy of our own homes, so long as we don't harm another. And I don't know about you, but when I was serving my country in the military and I raised my hand to swore an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, I did that knowing I was fighting for the land of the free and the home of the brave, not the land of the pee from government slaves. My father and my grandfather didn't fight in World War II to secure a country. By the way, my grandfather fought at a time when the Hemp for Victory campaign was going on and it was legal to grow hemp fields in the United States because our supply of hemp got cut off by the Japanese. My grandfather didn't fight World War II to give us a country where stormtroopers in automatic weapons and full combat gear burst into our homes and throw in no-knock grenades and shoot our pets and terrify our children and our families because we were smoking a bowl. Do you think that's right? Do you want to do something about it? And this is what you do. You get active. You get networking. You get to know other people. You come out of that smoky closet or that back garage where you're hiding. Somebody ought to legalize weed. No, you ought to legalize weed. This isn't a question of whether they're going to legalize weed, because they're never going to legalize weed. marijuana. I'm in Oregon. We got medical marijuana for 14 years. We've got two different petitions going on right now to legalize marijuana. In Washington State, they have an initiative to legalize marijuana. It's on the ballot. In Colorado, they've got an initiative to legalize marijuana. It's on the ballot. It is changing. When medical marijuana began, the U.S. Gallup poll for support for legalization was 25%. Today, that poll is 50%. More Americans today believe marijuana should be legal than believe it should be illegal. But again, I'm in Washington, Oregon, Colorado, that's a different thing. In Texas, what are you going to do? It's tough in Texas, man, I understand. I was just down in Houston last month doing a seminar down there, and I got to talk to a lot of people. I talked to a judge who told me about how her caseload, her docket is so full, she can't get to the rape cases, she can't get to the burglary cases, she can't get to the homicide and all those cases, because it's backlogged with crimes where people are caught with 1/100th of a gram. Is the minimum standard for their tests to send people in. So when they bust somebody along the roadside, the Texas Ranger gets a little pipe there and he scrapes up a little bit of resin off of it, that's what they're sending to court. Did you know the clearance rate of rapes in this country is about 25%? The clearance rates for rapes, if someone is raped, they'll solve about 1 out of 4 of those cases. About 50%, about half of the murders are solved. And this is directly attributable to the time wasted and resources wasted from cops having to chase kids with a dime bag instead of trying to chase bad guys that we wanted to catch. This is directly attributable. In the 1960s, the rape clearance rate was 60%. The murder clearance rate was 90%. Another thing the war on drugs has done to this country is it's turned us into the world's biggest jailer. The United States houses more prisoners in our country than any other country in the world, including China, where they got 1.3 billion people. And we can change this if we all band together and start to talk to each other. And I know it's a scary proposition because, you know, so many people, it feels like, are against us. But when you actually go out and start talking to people, you'll find more people are really on our side. There's an amazing phenomenon about this. They did a poll in Minnesota when they were trying to pass medical marijuana, and they asked people two questions. They said, number one, do you support medical marijuana? And about 3 out of 4 of them said yes. And then they said, number two, does your neighbor support medical marijuana? And about 3 out of 4 said no. Think about that. 3 out of 4 people really did believe something, but 3 out of 4 thought that the other 3 out of 4 didn't. It's like the propaganda is so intense, we've been convinced that our neighbors think we're evil, that we're the dirty Dobermans, and they don't think that. If you start going out and talking to them, you'll find that they're really on our side. And the ones that aren't on our side, I've got an assignment for you. Do you guys know who Rick Steves is? Rick Steves is a travel writer. He's on PBS a lot. You see him in Europe. You know, he'll be talking about what's going on in Europe and everything. Well, Rick Steves is an advisory board member for Normal. He travels all over the world. And one of his pieces of advice to me, I think, is the best thing I can tell someone who's wanting to be an activist. Because when you're an activist, you've got to choose what your level is. My level is I'm 420, 24/7, 365, baby. I'm living it like it's legal. I got a pot leaf on my head every day, you know. So that's the level I can do. Other people, you might have a job, family, whatever, where you can't be at that level. So here's what I want everyone to do. Here's what you can do to help legalize marijuana. Are you ready? It's a very simple thing. This is from Rick Steves. Be the kind of cannabis consumer that people can't help but like. That's it. Be a responsible, polite, helpful, friendly, engaging, communicative type of person. Because what's going on in a lot of people's minds when they hear war on drugs, when they hear marijuana, when they hear pot, potheads, cannabis, weed, whatever, their minds are stereotypes and prejudices that have been built up since even before Cheech and Chong. I mean, we're going back to Pancho Villa, right? Going back to La Cucaracha, right? So there's prejudices that have built up for 70, 80 years now about marijuana and the people that use it. So when you let someone you know that you're a pot smoker, and they have to go, well, wait a minute, she seems to be intelligent and goes to work every day and pays taxes and is a good mother. She doesn't seem like a pothead. And the more people like that they meet, the more that little wall of ignorance starts to come down in their head. They start to think, why are we locking these people up? They don't seem to be so bad. This should be normal, average, maybe a little kooky sometimes, but aren't we all a little bit? All right, and let me just close on this, man. Never let them degrade what you're doing as a marijuana activist. Never let them get you down to feel like, oh, why are you worrying about marijuana? Aren't there more serious things to deal with? No. I mean, there are very many serious things in this world, but don't ever let them degrade how serious this war on drugs is. This war on drugs affects every one of your civil rights, every single one of them. First Amendment and the Tenth Amendment, every one of them is impacted by what they're doing in this war on drugs. Just recently, the Supreme Court ruled that people arrested for any crime can be strip searched. Anyway, Roach, you're asked right, strip search. This is not the America I want to live in, and I don't think it is the one you would live in either. So thank you for supporting Normal. I'm Radical Russ. And if you don't know, I do Normal's national podcast, and you can subscribe to it on iTunes.
All right, that, of course, that's me in San Antonio, Texas, at the Revolution Room for San Antonio Normal. Check out San Antonio Normal at sanormal.org. When we come back, more show and tell from the Medical Cannabis Cup right after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You know why we pirates love the Normal Show? Har, har, because it's always smoking, matey. Har, 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 har.
What makes something funny? How does humor impact health and psychological well-being? How can you incorporate humor into everyday life? A concise, reader-friendly introduction to an important but often underappreciated topic in modern psychology, Humor 101 explains the role of comedy, jokes, and wit in the sciences and discusses why they are so important to understand. Psychology professor Dr. Mitch Earlywine draws from his personal experiences in stand-up comedy to focus on how humor can regulate emotion, reduce anxiety, and diffuse tense situations, expose pretensions, build personal relationships, and much more. He irreverently debunks the pseudoscience on the topic of humor and leaves readers not only funnier, but better informed. It's part of the Psych 101 series from Springer Publishing, Humor 101, by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Ph.D.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
All right, welcome back, folks. Just to take this rant time to do a little show and tell. When I was in San Antonio, we went to the Four Horsemen. I don't know if you've heard about this place. This is this is on the Man vs. Food channel, or the Travel Channel, the show Man vs. Food. And they have this burger called the Four Horsemen. And the Four Horsemen are the four peppers, which are jalapenos, serranos, habaneros, and then Naga Jolokia, which is the ghost pepper. Now, my friends, if you have never messed with the ghost pepper, let me just tell you, do not mess with the ghost pepper. It is not really a pepper. It is a form of bear mace. Okay. Literally, ghost peppers come in about 1.2 million Scovilles. Bear mace starts about 2 million. I looked it up. So anyway, this kid came in there and he was trying to do the dare. And sure enough, he got about 3 bites into it, turned all red and sweaty. And then about two bites away from finishing it, he puked. So poor guy did not make the challenge. Now that is Carly Duran. She is the deputy director of San Antonio Normal, if you're looking at the screen. Now what we got going on the screen, by the way, for those watching the webcam, photo slideshow in the middle, and then we've got video from the Medcan Cup going on in the corner there. So I'll switch between the two as well. But anyway, there's the photo. There's the proof there, Craig. Room 420 that I was in at the San Antonio Marriott there. Excellent. By the 410. So that was the room 420. We got to spend do the 420 somewhere with Chief Greenbud. That was a lot of fun. And then, of course, the burgers. So you don't really need to see the burgers. I will go video big screen here. The Medcan Cup was pretty amazing. I got to tell you, there in Denver, Colorado, they held it at the XDO Events Center. And we had, you know, of course, vendors of all types there, you know, with all the different things. That I think the thing that most impressed me this time around was the extraction units that they're making now. One of the guys on the videos here demonstrates this large industrial kind of butane hash oil type extraction unit, all self-contained, you know, filters and all the, I guess the, I don't know much about chemical engineering or anything, but all the stuff you'd want if you're that kind of guy to be safe. So I was really, really appreciative of that. The glass blowers, oh my God. And it'll come up here in some of the shots. I think here's the one, Dope-Ass Glass, had some pretty good glass going on. And the thing that really shocked me, one guy that has done chess pieces. He's done all sorts of different chess pieces. Is it Hitman, the chess piece guys? I don't know. I don't know exactly who it was, but these chess pieces that were just ornate and just beautiful. We got some pictures of those. You're seeing these on the screen now if you're watching at live.normal.org of some of the glass there from Dope-Ass Glass that was pretty impressive there at the Medical Cannabis Cup. Also, the San Antonio trip, like I said, when we were there at the San Antonio, the venue there, it was really tough because there was so much security attention. Nobody was really able to get any 420 action in, if you know what I mean. So that was kind of disappointing for a lot of people, but it's understandable. I mean, San Antonio is still kind of a tourist town, and they don't want to, there's a certain image they're trying to maintain, so we can see how that could happen. So let's see if I can get you some more pictures here from San Antonio. There's the room 420, as I mentioned. We'll get past the burger pictures. Nobody cares about that. But one note about the burgers. There's the kitchen staff from Chunky's Burgers. We went in there, the man versus food thing, and they saw we're all wearing our pot leaf stuff. You know, it's 420. We got our flag flying, right? And they're all like, hey, 420, yeah, 420. And they just, you know, hooting and hollering and all cool. We're like, hey, what's up? And we told them who we were. It's like, hey, well, this is Chief Greenbud, and I'm Radical Russ. I work for Normal. And the guy in the center there of that picture, he's like, Normal? And he opens his wallet and pulls out his Normal national card. He's like, oh, I'm a member of Normal. It's like, far out. So we had a really good time, got really good burgers. This is Chief and I, Chief Greenbud and I at the Smart Car, the San Antonio Normal Smart Car. That's Jamie Bellagia is the lawyer's name now. I got that from the chat room. Thanks, chat room. I had forgotten. But yeah, Jamie Bellagia is the lawyer who is sponsoring that, and he's now helping. He's executive director, I believe, of San Antonio Normal. They've got the 420, their 420 car, smart car, with the along the one side, it's the statistics of how many deaths there are from tobacco, alcohol, prescriptions, and then marijuana, zero. The back has a big old San Antonio Normal logo, sanormal.org on the list there. So it's really good stuff. There you can see Chief standing there with Bree. She is, I think, the secretary for San Antonio Normal. So and young mother. We're going to get her involved with Moms for Marijuana as well. Young mother of four, and did a great job there helping to put together the event. This was that big porch area. This bar where they had the San Antonio Freedom Fest was huge. It was an upstairs and downstairs. Upstairs had like four separate bars, and the downstairs was the one place we were at. But this is upstairs at one of their panels, and there's a picture of I'm on stage with Chief Greenbud, and we'll give you some clips of that coming up. Well, maybe I'll play that tomorrow, but I did a whole set with Chief Greenbud. Just singing harmony. So we'll play some of that for you. And then, of course, there was other performers there as well. But it was a good time, and big thanks to San Antonio Normal who are, you know, getting by in a tough place to be a marijuana organization, to be a Normal chapter, because they really want to keep it very touristy there. The slideshow now venturing on to some of the scenes from the Medical Cannabis Cup. There's Stacia Costner from Students from Sensible Drug Policy. Let's see if I can get her on.
And we're on Cuts.
All right, and all this fantastic stuff.
Yeah, lots of good stuff. We've been covering a lot of those the videos that you guys have done. We've been putting them on the Normal Network and showing all the students that are getting well, I guess they're not all running anymore, but Santorum and Romney.
Absolutely. Those are great. There's like more than a dozen of them. Yeah. Irene Alexander went up there with a bunch of students to the New Hampshire College Convention, got every single one of them on the record about this issue. It was great. Some of them were more, you know, helpful than others, but yeah, yeah, it was great. All interesting.
That's activism. Thanks, Stacey, for doing it.
Thank you, Russ.
So yeah, Stacia Costner from Students for Sensible Drug Policy was there. We had kind of a non-profits row there at the Exto Center.
Okay, so my pitch from MAPS, we're the Multidisciplinary Association of Psychedelic Studies. We do worldwide FDA-approved clinical research for MDMA, psilocybin, LSD, ayahuasca, medical marijuana, and we find the therapeutic value in all of these things.
Fantastic, and a great selection of library of books here.
So MAPS was there along with other nonprofits in the nonprofit row. We had a really good time speaking with all of them as well. It just there was a lot of camaraderie, and it was kind of you know, going into this, it was kind of difficult because there was this tension in the air of going to this thing following the blow up between, you know, the former Colorado Normal head and remarks by Alan St. Pierre and so forth. So, but you know, everyone was congenial. I even said hello to Warren, saw him there, but we didn't speak. But everybody was at least congenial, and I think the panels that we had went a long way toward addressing some people's concerns that, like, what? Normal thinks medical's a sham. No, of course not. Normal's the first organization that ever, you know, petitioned for medical marijuana. We petitioned the DEA in 1972, you know, so we sued that, a lot of that stuff, I believe.
Magic brownies.
Exactly. Oh, these guys.
But you make it yourself, and indica and sativa specific.
So you know. Papa Murphy, do not sue us. Yes, do not sue us.
Yeah, this guy makes a brownie mix that's a medicated brownie mix. The mix is already medicated, and then you make up the brownie. So that was kind of interesting. This guy had put that together. So much, you know, entrepreneurialism there at the Medical Cannabis Cup. And the panels, of course, were really good. If you're sticking around for hour two here, in hour two, we're going to play the To Dab or Not To Dab panel, which Kaliko has heard all of, and he said is absolutely fantastic. So
it was absolutely the most informative hour I've spent watching, you know, something about dabs ever. But I mean, that it happened at the High Times thing really blew me away. So
yeah,
it's the who's who of the concentrate community.
So. Oh yeah, Selecta Nicotee was there,
as well as Big D from Top Shelf Extracts, and then
Dr. Bob Melamed was there.
Yep.
A few others. We'll get the whole list for you. But yeah, it's amazing panels were held, and of course the event had a medication area, like a lot of these events have, and I'll see if I can find some pictures of that for you. But I did not take the stream into this, into the medication areas or any of that, just because, you know, I just wanted to obey the law basically, and, you know, people's privacy. But also, just didn't want to. Let's be honest here. I don't think the internet would have covered that far anyway. There's the pink hat guys I was talking about for our guests in the studio, for Craig and Brian. But it was the Pink House Collective, and this guy was wearing a pink dress shirt as well. So they had won a couple of awards there. I got to actually deliver the awards, announce the awards for Best Concentrates. So I was able to be on stage to do that. That was kind of fun. This is the kind of long alleyway. Basically, in the Exto Center, you couldn't medicate, and they had signs all over that said that. And then if you went down this long alleyway, Weed Maps guys had already gotten this separate place and set it up as the separate, so it wasn't attached to the event center at all. So they legally, you know, they felt safer about that. So anyway, that's the hallway you went down to it. Now, I paused on this picture because it's a picture of the bar in the Exto Center. I love going to these cannabis events when they have a bar and taking the picture of how empty the bar is. You can just see just how lonely the bartenders are. So they're one guy leaned up against the bar. So that's the way it goes at your typical cannabis events. Hey, folks, that's about all the time we have here on Normal Show Live, Voice of the Marijuana Nation. But stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio, where we're going to play the To Dab or Not To Dab panel, one of the most informative panels of experts on the on the subject of butane hash oil, hash oils, hash extracts, everything you want to know. Boy, you don't want to miss this hour of Toker Talk Radio. And thanks for listening to us and supporting Normal. I'll talk to you tomorrow from Tucson, Arizona, for Wiz Khalifa, Cannabis Carrie, Brian the Red, and our friend Craig. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.
You're listening to the Normal Network, where the time is 420, 24/7, 365.